Praise the Lord. Dear friends, we continue our study of the Beatitudes. The Beatitudes reveal to us the quality of a disciple as well as the gift God is giving to his disciples, to those who are willing to accept it. Today we want to reflect on the fifth Beatitude. It's still another aspect of Christian life and another aspect of the kingdom of God. The fifth Beatitude is written in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 5, verse 7. Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. Mercy is the center of this Beatitude. Blessed are the merciful, for they will obtain mercy. What is mercy? And how is one going to obtain mercy? The merciful will obtain mercy. This is a kind of divine expression. One will obtain mercy not automatically. It's not only that if you are merciful to somebody, those people who experienced your acts of mercy will be merciful to you. That's not what Jesus is telling. Maybe people who experienced your love and mercy may turn against you sometimes, or may forget you. But here, Jesus is giving an absolute guarantee. You will obtain mercy. Those who are merciful will receive mercy. From where? From whom? From God. It's God who will reward you. If you are merciful, you will receive mercy from God. Is an absolute, unconditional promise. If you are merciful, you will receive mercy. Now let us analyze a little bit what this mercy is. It comes from God. It is God who is going to be merciful. It is God who is going to give us mercy. Now, if we go through the Bible, we see the mercy is a characteristic trait, a hallmark of God. God is merciful from the beginning to the end, from Genesis to Apocalypse. In all the 73 books of the Bible, we see the picture of God painted with the color of mercy. But there are some who think and who teach that the God of the Old Testament is a cruel God, a despot, a God who condemns, a God who punishes, a God who is angry and destroys, who sends fire from heaven and consumes cities, God who asks one nation to destroy the other nations. So taking a few episodes and incidents from the Old Testament, a general understanding is propagated to the effect that the God of the Old Testament is a cruel God, and it's only in the New Testament the mercy of God is revealed. The Father of Jesus Christ is a merciful God, but the God Yahweh of the Old Testament is a cruel God. But that is absolutely a wrong picture. Right from the beginning, we see God's mercy operative. The very creation comes out of his mercy. He was in no way under compulsion to create the world. And he was in no way forced to create man and woman in his own image. Out of dust and breathe into his nostrils his breath of life. It is the self-giving, outgoing mercy of God that creates human being in his own images, his own reflection on this earth. And when these human beings misuse their freedom and turn against God, again, it is the merciful God who forgives them, who gives them protection and promises them a return home. We know the story of paradise, where after they eating the forbidden fruit, the man and woman become ashamed, they are afraid. They try to hide themselves behind a tree, They try to cover themselves with fig leaves, a futile attempt. And it is God who comes into the scene and gives them a decent clothing, a clothing of skin, that gives them at least certain sense of dignity, that they can look at each other and stand before God. God accepts the sinful nature of man and still loves them, protects them, guides them. Where are you? God came searching for the lost. And so this is the story of the paradise and the paradise lost. And they are sent out of paradise in the story because if they were to continue in the paradise, eating from the tree of life, their sinful situation, their miserable situation of fear and shame would continue forever. God did not want that to happen. God allowed them to die and then to rise again through the death and resurrection of His Son. A God who comes out in search. This is the picture of the God of the Old Testament. God the Creator, a God who calls, a God who provides, a God who hears the cry. That's what we hear in the book of Exodus. When God comes down to the people, an oppressed people, a people under slavery, who were brutally oppressed and exploited by powerful forces. In the book of Exodus, chapter 3, verses 7 and 8, we read, "I have observed the misery of my people who are in Egypt. I have heard their cry on account of their taskmasters. Indeed, I know their sufferings." This is the nature of God. A God who hears the cry. A God who knows the suffering of the people. And there He doesn't sit idle. He doesn't keep quiet when His people is under oppression. And His people is not particularly this just one people of Israel. This is not only one group of slaves who are under oppression in Egypt. Every human being, every nation, every generation, every race, every people belongs to Him. He is the creator of the entire humanity. He is the maker of the entire universe. And He is compassionate. He is merciful. Not only towards the people of Israel, He is compassionate towards every nation and every people and every individual. And that's what is being revealed to Moses in Exodus chapter 34, verses 6 and 7. "The Lord passed before him and proclaimed, 'The Lord, a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness, keeping steadfast love for the thousandth generation, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin.'" God who forgives, a God who is merciful, who is compassionate, who is full of steadfast love. There are two Hebrew words that express this quality or characteristic of God. The first is chesed. Chesed is a term related to the covenant. Chesed means steadfast love, unending, unchanging, never decreasing, a love that never diminishes, a love that never ceases, a love that never knows any boundary, unlimited, unending love. And this love has been guaranteed by a promise, by a covenant, a covenantal love. God is full of chesed. God is full of compassionate love, covenantal love, steadfast love. That is chesed. Another term the Bible uses to express God's love is rachama. Rachama comes from the Hebrew root rechem. Rechem means womb. So the term rachama means or points to the relationship of a mother to the unborn child. The child that is growing in her own self. A child that is totally dependent on her for everything. All that the child in the womb has comes from the mother. The breath, the blood, the food, the sustenance, whatever comes from the mother, entirely, totally dependent. And the compassionate love that the mother feels towards her unborn child, that is what Rahama means. And that's how Bible reveals the God of the Old Testament. The motherly love of God. A mother who considers humanity as his unborn child. A child who is growing in himself. So this is God, merciful God. You call it compassion. You call it sympathy, suffering together with. That's what sympathy means, to suffer with. It's not just a passing emotion. It's a quality, it is a character of the very self being. And this has been revealed time and again through prophets. For example, in the book of Hosea, God reveals his compassionate love in these words. Hosea chapter 11, verse 1. When Israel was a child, I loved him, and out of Egypt I called him. Verses 8 and following. How can I give you up, Ephraim? How can I hand you over, O Israel? My heart recoils within me. My compassion grows warm and tender. I will not execute my fierce anger. I will not again destroy Ephraim, for I am God and no man. God is not mortal. He is not moved by this temporary changing emotions. He has determined to love, and he has promised that he would love, and this love will be never taken away. God will never abandon. God will never be unfaithful, even when man becomes unfaithful, even when man breaks the covenant. God remains faithful. And this faithful love of God that is being expressed again by Ezekiel. Ezekiel chapter 34, speaking about God as the shepherd. In verse 16, 34:16, I will seek the lost, I will bring back the strayed, and I will bind up the injured, and I will strengthen the weak. So binding up, strengthening, leading back. That's what God does. The wounded, he will not abandon. The strayed, he will not discard. God is merciful. This is all in the Old Testament. In the book of Lamentation, we know the book of Lamentation is a lament over Jerusalem, the destroyed Jerusalem, and over the people of Israel led into exile, captives in Babylon. So Jerusalem is presented as a mother weeping over her lost children. And here in chapter 3, verses 19 to 24, we have this. Though the thought of my affliction and my homelessness is wormwood and gall, my soul continuously thinks of it and is bowed down within me. But this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. And what is this that gives hope? The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The steadfast love never ends. Every morning it is fresh. This new love, ever fresh offer of love, is expressed in Jesus Christ. God's mercy and compassion has taken form, definite human form, in Jesus Christ. Is the incarnation of the compassionate love. And that is what Jesus expressed in all his dealings. In Mark 1:41. We have Jesus feeling compassion towards a leper who came and knelt before him. Moved with pity, Jesus stretched out his hand and touched him and said to him, I do choose, be made clean. The mercy that goes out into this leper who was considered as a cursed being who was hated by his contemporaries, by his townsfolk. But Jesus had compassion. This compassion we see again and again in Jesus. When a huge crowd followed him for days, and the disciples reminded Jesus that it is a lonely place and it is getting dark and they have to be sent home, Jesus tells them, Mark 6:34, "As he went ashore, he saw a great crowd and he had compassion for them because they were like sheep without a shepherd, and began to teach them. And at the end, he felt compassion so that he asked the disciples to feed them." Mark 8:2, "I have compassion for the crowd because they have been with me now for 3 days and have nothing to eat. If I send them away hungry to their homes, they will faint on the way." So Jesus knows and he has compassion. And this compassion goes out and creates well-being. He weeps at the tomb of Lazarus and then speaks out the powerful word, "Lazarus, come forth." And the dead man came out alive. The compassion that gives life. The compassion that weeps over the dead but doesn't stop there. That brings life. And this compassion Jesus wants to express and exercise in the society. And that's what Jesus told his disciples. Be compassionate. Compassionate. "Blessed are the merciful because they shall obtain mercy," Jesus said. God will give mercy to you if you are merciful. Mercy is a compassionate love that goes out in search of the needy, the weak. It doesn't consider the worth, the merit of the person who obtains mercy. There is no merit. The person who deserves mercy is totally helpless. He has no merit of his own. A person fallen into the hands of thieves and lies there half dying, half dead, naked. And it is there the Samaritan comes and feels compassion for this person. A compassion that does not look to the merit or the race or caste or color of the party, but the person's need. As the mother has compassion towards the child, so Jesus asks, have compassion towards all those whom you find. "Who is my neighbor?" the lawyer asked. "Go and do likewise," Jesus said, as this good Samaritan did to the man fallen in the hands of the robbers. Be compassionate. Today, this is a rare quality, something that is disappearing from our society. We are living in a society of competition. Only the strong and powerful and rich can live. And the others are offered easy death through abortion, through euthanasia. Unborn children are mercilessly massacred in mothers' wombs. Millions of them every year. People who are terminally ill, cancer patients, people who have no hope of recovery are now allowed to die. And in many countries, it has become an obligation for the sick to die. The old people are abandoned in the old age homes. And even the old age homes are finding it difficult to maintain these people. The countries which have insurance for the sick are reducing the amount. And the old age pension is also being reduced. That the people find it more and more difficult. The old and the sick and the crippled have become a kind of liability to the society whom they want to avoid, abandon, let them die. Compassion is running out. And without compassion, there is no life possible, we know. It's not the fight for or struggle for justice that gives life. It is the compassion of the mother that sustains, that fosters life, brings life to this world and sustains it. It is the compassion of people that keeps the life going, that allows us to grow. Compassion is the root of Christianity. The compassion is the source of life. It is because of God's compassion that we are alive. Without compassion, none of us would be alive now. Jesus gives us also a reminder. In the story of the rich man and Lazarus, reported in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 16, we know the story. There was a time when the rich man was healthy. He was feasting every day sumptuously, dressed in purple and silk. And there at his door starved a poor man to death. And then comes the reversal of the situation. Tortured in hell, the rich man turns his head up and sees Lazarus in the bosom of Abraham and makes the prayer, "Send this Lazarus to quench my thirst, to pour a drop of water into my parched throat." And Abraham says, "It is not possible. You had a good life, you never remembered, you never thought of this poor man. Now there is a gulf between us." Jesus is telling, unless you are merciful today to the wretched people, to the poor, to the weak, you will not obtain mercy when you cry for it tomorrow. The same thing is said by James in chapter 2, verse 13. Those who do not show mercy will receive a judgment without mercy. The last judgment, Jesus has very clearly depicted how the judgment would be. And the criterion is only that of mercy, we know. I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty, you gave me a drink. Or I was hungry, you did not give me food. So away from me, you accursed to the eternal fire prepared for Satan and his companions. Or if you had been merciful, come, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. So the merciful will receive mercy. That is the message Jesus is telling. And that is the root, the basis of Christianity. Merciful, compassionate love. And that is the quality of God expressed through Jesus. And that's what Jesus tells us. Be compassionate as your Father is merciful, compassionate. He lets the sun shine on the wicked and the saintly. He lets his rain fall down on the just as well as the unjust. Now let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for expressing, for being merciful to us, for giving us life, for forgiving us, for redeeming us through your Son, sending us your Son as our Redeemer, as our leader, our light, our life, our food. Jesus, enable us to be merciful as you and your Heavenly Father are merciful. We make this prayer through the same Christ, our Lord. Amen.